Okay. What, without looking at anything else, what do you see here? What in generally what's going to happen here?
One early.
A couple of early.
One early.
Okay, what else have you got? Okay. Can you stop? Tell me what is the first part of this race going to look like? Can you see it? What does it look like? No, it looks like Northern Bounty will probably go out early. Navis Rain will be right off his tail. You've got Reb Cavalry will be in there somewhere, not too far back, probably. Well, we aren't going to worry about that just yet. Big picture now. What you can see a couple of earlies out front, you can see a couple of pressers, and then a couple of sustained horses. Sustained pressers, okay? General picture. What I call this race, in my language, is I call this a hot pursuit race. You got a horse going out early, and you got a horse who's in hot pursuit. In my mind, that word paints a picture. Okay? Those of you who are auditory, who process information auditorily, the first thing you should really try to do as you quickly review the horse race is to associate that big picture with a word. Generally, what have I got here? The only way to understand and make sense out of a stochastic event, an event that's affected by random variables, and whether you're predicting animal behavior or people behavior, you have to figure out what the pattern is in order to make a prediction. If you process auditorily with words, then try to create a word that draws a picture in your head and helps you see the pattern of this particular race in a big picture kind of way. Before you really start applying the principles to the race. Jim talked about the Kentucky Derby. How many of you remember what that race looked like? Okay. What did it look like? They came to the top of the stretch and they were 6-8 wide, right? Yeah, but right at the top of the stretch. When I did that race and analyzed that race, what I saw in my head and the word I used was that was a Ben-Hur race. They were going to come to the end of the race 8 wide, just like they did in that movie. And because I was able to use that word, I could visualize what factors were going to be important. And then I began to associate and attach some numbers like APV and class and Hamilton speed numbers and pluses and zeros and all the mechanical things that we do. But if you can't name the pattern, if you can't identify the pattern for you auditories out there, you will really not understand the race. If I can't identify the pattern in a race, almost invariably, I will put some horse in my group and I'll run the numbers, and what will happen is that horse will come up looking great and I forgot about behavior pattern and that horse doesn't even come close, and all he did was mess up my printout, and all he did was cost me money because I didn't understand the pattern of the race and how it was going to set up. That is a critical element for all of you out there. And that's why it's so important to spend all the time that we spend talking about seeing the race, pace lines looming off the page. If I understand the pattern of the race, if you can identify the pattern in the race, one of the interesting things is that for me, when I really see the pattern well, I don't have any trouble with pace lines. When I start to struggle with pace lines, that's when I know I don't really understand the pattern of the race, and usually it's best for me to pass. The printout, my printout to that race is, I think, on page 8. And if you look at the rankings, and you notice that the zero MUV horse is already behind, he's losing the hot pursuit, and there are really only two horses that make sense. It does it variegates the race early. And it, and you can see how you could be, or at least I should speak for me, as a novice in this game, this would be an easy one for me to be misled on. Even though Fly comes up in both categories, I'd worry about the UXR rating and some other things. But notice how, when as soon as I've identified the pattern, I can see the picture of the race on this page. Are you with me, or am I leaving you? Okay, so what I'm suggesting to those of you who have always learned concrete sequentially, to those of you who learn or who process words auditorily and not in pictures, your process needs to be to try to identify the pattern in the race first, then begin to identify through the matchup and all the tools that you have how those things will fit together. For those of you who are who may be interested, my process goes something like this. I first look at the horse behavior and through ESP try to identify what's going on in the race. Then I try to figure out and see if I can see the early part of that race and figure out who's going to be doing what, based on what I know about the pattern I've identified. Then I do a matchup and see if my pattern and my understanding still holds true. Does it really look like it's going to play out that way? And then I do class and APV. And does that all still fit with my big picture? Does that conceptually make sense? And then I'll choose pace lines and run the race. One of the interesting things that I will tell you, there's a couple of very interesting books about visual learning and visual processing of information. There's one called Influencing with Integrity by Jeannie C. Laborde, and you normally have to order that through a bookstore. This lady has talked about how visuals hand process information and how you can tell if somebody's visual or auditory, and how you can speak to them in a language they can best understand. But it's a really good book, and part of what this woman is all about is what you've heard others talk about in terms of all kinds of approaches, whether it be Eastern meditation or Silva mind control. This lady writes about neuro-psycholinguistic programming, and big word. By the way, Howard was worried that my boss would find out. When I left town, I told him that I was going to speak to a group of investors on predicting the outcome of stochastic events through conceptual understanding. And he said, "Good. I hope you have a good time."
I should never have worried.
Anyway, I'll be right with you. Part of what this lady talks about is how we program ourselves with words. And when she gets a little scary for me sometimes, she talks about if you want to influence that part of yourself that's a handicapper, talk to it. So when I sit down to handicap, I say, "Okay, handicapper, the rest of you guys go out to lunch. Handicapper, I want you to be concentrated. I want you to see the big picture." And if you do that, it literally works. If you talk to that part of you, I don't know how you feel about speaking to groups, but it's one of the scariest things I do. And when I get up to speak to a group, and the last group I spoke to, somewhere around 10,000 people at a graduation. And when I got done, I was wet all the way down, and it just kind of frightens me. But I have a self-talk, and I say, "Okay, speaker, I want you to get up there, and I want you to talk to those folks, make sense, try to communicate with them, try to connect with them, and try to give them something." And normally it works. So talk to that part of yourself that's a handicapper and say, "Okay, now try to figure out what the big picture is. What are the concepts here? How can I apply that to this set of circumstances and understand the variables that are most important in this race?" And then start to process the race. Name it and start to process the race. Howard, I think I'm pushing your time a little bit. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to take some. Yes, sir?
Well, yes, now that we did this ESP definition of this race, it would be possible
for you to make it
through the printout step by step?
We'll do that. We'll do that later. That's planned. I'm going to interpret the question. He says, now that we've done the ESP, can we take it step by step through the rest of the way? So we'll do that later, but I want Richard to make his point and ask you, at this moment in time, to follow the lesson he's giving you. You now take it step by step. And tell us your, later on, when we ask you a question, tell us your conclusions.
Yes, sir.
Book?
It's called Influencing with Integrity. It's the first book. And the second one is, she's written another one that is a follow-up to that, and talks about reaching your mind's potential or something like that.
What was that author's name?
Jeannie, it's JeanieLabord, Labord. One of the interesting ideas I got from this lady, by the way, did you know that human beings, when they look down, they tend to be accessing a feeling, and when they look up, they tend to be accessing an idea? And if you don't think that's true, know that I used that with angry parents. And if somebody's really mad, the first thing I do is stand up and get them to look up. Calms the situation down a lot, and people begin to start to access ideas. Well, think about being in a race book. You're nervous. You look down. You're thinking hard. What are you accessing? Feelings. Maybe try this. When you make your decision about the horse, look up and think about what decision you're going to make. Yes, sir.
Well, one of the first meetings that I came to, you know, a seminar here a couple of years ago, and Jim Bradshaw got to doing something to predict the pace of the race down before you start getting into these computers. And I see you did your X and O's and all that, okay, and you got your pace line. But you forgot to put down the green light, 45-1, 109 before the race was over.
Hey!
That's all he told me.
Nobody can hear you. It's great.
Okay.
The first, a couple of years ago when I came to my first seminar, Jim Bradshaw got up there and he said, "Well, you gotta put the pace of the race down before you go into any further. And you gotta find what the best second call is, that's the fingerprint of the race. Then you gotta look and see which horse could run fast against it." So I see you did the X and O's, which I always do. I don't see any ESPs there. You know, but the bottom line is that the fingerprint of the race was 45-1. I'm got to fly. And he's the only horse that came within three quarters of a length of a 109-4. So the race was over before it started. You know, he was the only sustained horse. Now, we didn't need the computer at this point, but the computer backed up what you saw there, and everybody was sitting there. That they probably weren't reading the same race before to let this horse get by.
You're dealing in specifics of handicap, and the man is trying to teach us the learning process.
Right, but that's what I learned, because Jimmy made it so I thought about it.
Okay, but I just want to get us all off on a tangent that has nothing to do with the keynote speech.
Can I ask a question, please?
If I could answer this gentleman's question first. He asked how come I didn't write down the pace of the race and the matchup that I saw. I called that race after I had looked at the general picture. When I started to do the matchup, then I did that. And I predicted that the pace of that race at 22-1 and 45-1. You'll be interested to know that Got to Fly paid $12. And the time was 1:10:01, if that's important to you. But what I'm trying to say is, we get into numbers so fast that we lose the idea of what's going on first. And that's what Jim was talking about when he talked about he has never used the programs. He's always used energy deceleration and the deceleration pattern. Those are concepts that numbers should help you understand. But we can lose the concept in the number, sir.
Can you give me an example, a situation where a stochastic comes into play? That's a very interesting concept, it's a very interesting word, and I come across it in other things that I do, but I don't fully understand it. Can you give me an example?
Does everybody hear the question?
Yes.
The gentleman asked Mr. Worthy to give an example of where a stochastic came into view.
I mean, I don't know whether it's easy or difficult, and if you can, I'd appreciate it.
Stochastic simply means a situation where a multiplicity of variables affect the outcome. So, any horse race is an example. Any time a group gets together and begins to respond in certain ways is stochastic. We can predict general trends of behavior. There are people who make millions of dollars predicting what you will use in your bathroom. But what they try to do is look at the generalities of behavior and make some predictions from that. You'd be surprised at the small size of samples the pollsters use to predict our behavior and how accurately they can do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Let me tell you that there are personal communication questions like that you would get with Richard. Richard's the same as any other teacher here. He'll be available throughout the weekend. If there are conversational things like, yours is an excellent proposition, but nobody can hear you. And therefore, that's why I kind of got abrupt with you. I didn't mean to cut you off. But if you have any questions that are specific to this issue that you want to talk to Richard about, he'll be here all weekend. But if you have a general question you want him to do, then please ask it. Yes?
I have one I think might be general interest. Do you have other race labels in addition to Dr. Seuss and Ben-Hur that we might find useful?
He wants to know if he has any other catchwords like Ben-Hur and Dr. Seuss that persons could apply for their own edification in a race.
When I see a race where there's a lone early that doesn't look like he can get caught, I call that an in-your-face race. those are. But the important message, I think, is that you, because you learn sequentially, the important thing is let your rules be the process you build to analyze a race and not the analysis itself. We all have a need for rules and going about things in the same way. Remember the other important thing that's been said by lots of teaching members in lots of different ways. The rules they give you teach the concept. And it's the appropriate application of a concept at the right time that predicts the outcome of an event. Thank you for listening. You've been a great audience, and it's been my pleasure to share with you.
Well, we thank you, Richard Werp. This is something I've been trying to teach since 1982. It's amazing how, and I've always said to one of our teaching members, please do concept. Bert Main's done it. Everybody's tried a hand at it. But I think that because Richard Werpy works day in, day out with persons who have educational problems and perception, that he's probably given us the best presentation on this. And I'm very, very pleased with the way you have responded. Instead of sitting back and saying, oh, God, when are we going to get to the handicapping? You all really were part of it. And Richard, I think that's a tribute to your educational skills. Now we will reward you with we've kept you from smoking, those who are smokers, and you have done very well for the non-smokers. We're going to give you now a 15-minute break, and then we'll come back and we'll get into some races with a brand new, never-before-tried handicapper. We're going to get down to some nitty-gritty handicap, especially if you're up close to the front. Could you try to ask it in one sentence, or at least one at a time? And then I can relay the question so everybody can hear it. The tragic thing about seminars, and sometimes speakers get caught up in this failure, they get talking to one person like my $79,000 pick six winner here, who can do no wrong. And he wants to carry on a private conversation with the speaker, and of course he deserves it because he's a big winner, but he's denying the rest of the audience the value of his question and subsequently the value of the answer. I don't know how many of you were with us in 1987 when I put out a follow-up. Richard Schmidt edited a follow-up in which I said, it's time to get serious, and we had a review of the crash of 1990, which came a year later. How many of you, I don't want to pry into your personal lives, but how many of you have at least, if you haven't suffered some setbacks because of this strange economy, how many of you know someone who has? All of us. And even if it hasn't affected us personally, we feel the ominous potential of its possible effect on us. Now, it happened in my family. My son lost his job and went on unemployment and tried all sorts of areas. He's a communications specialist in the